Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Tuesday, September 25th, 2018, episode 14.06, the NFL Week 4 show. If Week 2 wasn't unpredictable enough for you, I don't know what to call Week 3. Is it finally here? I'm asking. Parity. That's what the NFL has been preaching, and if Week 3 is any sort of indication, the NFL is in full parity. I'm talking about crazy upset wins. The Browns win. The Lions defeat the Patriots. Not just defeat the Patriots, blow them out, and they post a 100-yard rusher for the first time in 70 games. The Buffalo Bills spanked the previously undefeated Minnesota Vikings, and the Redskins beat the Packers and a partridge in a pear tree. That's all we had in Week 3. Steve, my co-host here, takes an early 2-0 lead in the challenge game thanks to the Cowboys' offense being offensive and reverting to their Week 1 status. So no Cowboys jersey for Lady Edith, who, by the way, got spanked in the pick'em section herself. We've got all kinds of stuff. I'm going to rant on all these roughing the passer penalties, and Steve has a mini rave. All this, plus the bye weeks start in Week 4. So hello, bye. Let's chomp it in. Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Steve Fry with NFL Rants and Raves. All right. Welcome back, people, wherever in this great world of ours that you are listening to the show. Thank you for joining us. I'm Steven.
I'm Steve.
Along with Steve. And did I kind of just throw Lady Edith under the bus there with the little intro?
You kind of did, but it's somewhat deserved.
four and 12, right?
Now, I will point out she was the only person in our Pick'em League.
To pick the Lions.
Well, no, there was somebody else to pick the Lions. There were two. She
really?
Was the only one to pick the Titans.
Oh, she was, wow.
She was the only one on the Titans.
One of the big upsets.
It was. So
man,
she has flashes of brilliance in that Lions and Titans pick, and then everything else I question her.
Just really, really weird. I haven't gone through her picks yet this week, but I'm starting to get nervous that whenever I pick a challenge game where she and I agree and you're alone on an island, we seem to be wrong. So I'm gonna watch out for that from now on.
And I do have to say I like these challenge games because I'm undefeated.
Yeah, and you haven't yet had to do anything.
Right.
I'm so mad at myself.
I picked a tie and then have won 2 weeks in a row because
of
your choices.
You led me astray to the Cowboys-Seahawks game. My gut was to take Saints over Falcons. You had the Falcons. I had the Saints. That was what was going to be my pick. The other one that we differed on is I had Carolina and you had the Bengals. And it was going to be one of those two until we start, you know, that's all right.
We started John a little bit.
You're not going to get me anymore like that. Let's start with a little bit of NFL news. The honeymoon is over in Pittsburgh. I don't know if it's really a honeymoon because they've been together for so long. But the Pittsburgh Steelers, there are reports that they are listening to trade offers for Le'Veon Bell.
What?
That's right, Emma. They're listening to trade offers for Le'Veon Bell.
Didn't they take him off the active roster?
They did. They put him in the non-active, non-football-related.
Yeah.
You know, he's
when
so
you
he's
go,
still
when
on
you
their
go
roster,
to their website,
but yeah.
Yeah, when you go to their website to see their active roster, his name is conspicuously missing.
He's out partying in South Beach, Miami. He's like, he's like doing karaoke on stage with Snoop Dogg. I don't know who he was.
When you're expecting that later this year or next year, you're getting a pretty big payday. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
South Beach is probably a pretty good place to hang out.
I guess there's some videos have been released. We obviously saw the video of him on the jet ski. Now there's a video of him singing karaoke or singing with some musician. I don't know who it was. And someone asked his agent, like, what's going on? You know, why is he just like chilling in Miami? And his agent, look, he's working out three times a day. You know, he's staying in shape. He's in great physical condition. You know, in the evenings, he's not playing football, so he can go do whatever he wants, right?
He doesn't have a curfew while he's
curfew.
While he's holding out.
And here's my thing, Steve. Could you use $894,000?
I could find a few things to do with that, yes.
Every day or every game, that he does not play, he's leaving $894,000 on the table.
I would love to be in a position where the choice of playing in an unhappy situation,
right,
or not playing and giving up $800,000,
yeah,
that giving up the $800,000 is the better of the two choices.
Is the better option. That is a great position to be in. That's a great position to be in. I think that this relationship is done. Remember back in the beginning, and before we even started the show, like it was like the first episode, I said this is a charade. Yep. Le'Veon Bell does this. He's done it for a few years.
Just doesn't want
to
practice.
He doesn't want to come to practice. The Steelers know he's not going to practice. He's going to come back to practice, you know, right before week one. The Steelers will forgive all of his fines, and everything will be happy, and he'll start playing football.
I think in the second show I was talking about, he's going to show up Wednesday before game one.
Yep.
Just enough time to, okay, yep, now I remember how to catch a pass or a handoff.
No go.
No go.
And now, after week three, we are hearing from, you know, some of the NFL insiders that they've been talking to the Jets. They've been talking to the 49ers. And I believe the Jets have actually made an offer, and I'm not sure that, you know, the Steelers are willing to take that offer yet. But some offers are coming in for this guy, and I'm thinking about it. I'm like, well, do the Jets really – they really need Le'Veon Bell? And I think about it, yeah, that's a team that could use a runner.
Yeah.
Although Isaiah Crowell looked pretty good the other night on Thursday Night Football against the Browns. I don't really know if there's a team out there that could use the Le'Veon Bell to help them get – oh, you know what? I just saw your logo on your hat. There's a team right there that could use the Le'Veon Bell to kind of take some pressure off of Aaron Rodgers.
Because Bell is Green Bay Packers material.
He's not.
Yeah.
I know,
mean,
he,
that's
– but dude,
the Packers, the Patriots, I mean, how many of these teams would not take that personality and put it in the locker room?
But the Packers may want to think this over. It's not going to cost them money.
They don't have any money.
It's not going to cost them money. What do you mean they don't have no money?
What are they going to do with them? How many draft picks are they going to give up to keep him for the year? They're not going to sign him at the end of the year.
So you don't think at the end of the year they don't have enough money in their cap?
They've got a couple guys that they're going to have to pay at the end of the year. They've got a couple of their big name guys that they're going to have to come up with some cash to keep them on. They're not going to be able to keep them all like they did last year. You know, they didn't keep Jordy because they, you know, many different reasons.
I'm just surprised that Bill Belichick hasn't said, because I tell you what, Le'Veon Bell on the Patriots, that's kind of dangerous. That would be scary.
Well, he would be dangerous anywhere he goes.
Well, true that. So there you go. I really think that it is over. He's going to show up before week 11 because he has to, right? Because he's got to get his final year of eligibility so he can become a free agent at the end of the season. But here's the thing. Look, he's going to show up and he's going to go, okay, I'm here to play, you know, the final seven games. Use me however you want to use me. If you don't want to use me, don't use me. I'll ride the bench for $800. Trust me. Look at me. I'm raising my hand. For $894,000, I'm going to sit on the bench if that's what you want me to do. I'm here. I will work. I'm not going to be insubordinate. If you want me to go and work out, I will work out. I'll do what you will tell me. But I'm not going to give you 100% because I'm not going to get hurt.
Yeah.
And I may even fake, you know, tweaking my hamstring so that, you know, I don't have to go out and play every week.
I've had enough of that this season with other players.
Yeah, that's true. All right. As I said earlier in the preview, the Lions went 70 games, that's 7-0, without a 100-yard rusher. That is the longest drought by any NFL team since the NFL and the AFL merged in 1970. That was until Sunday night when Kerryon Johnson, carry on my wayward Johnson. Wow, that did not sound good at all. I should stop. Everybody's
better,
like, Steve.
Better than I could do.
He rushed for off.
That falsetto voice. Let's stick to what we do well.
The deep voice. Carry on my wayward Johnson.
Better,
there you go. 101 yards on 16 carries against the New England Patriots. That's a 6.3 average. And the Lions smashed. And I'm talking about smash the Patriots. Let me tell you what. If I'm a defensive coordinator for the other 31 or 30 teams, because it was Matt Patricia's defense who did this, I would watch that game about 10 times, because what Matt Patricia did is he gave you the blueprint for defeating the New England Patriots. You take away Gronk, you take away Philip Dorsett on the outside, and you smack Brady around a little bit, and you will limit the Patriots to 10 points. And Matt Patricia, look, who knows better what how to stop Brady than the guy who was the defensive coordinator with Brady.
Spent 5 days a week for how many years practicing against that
exactly.
offense. Yeah.
I mean, that is the blueprint. I'm literally, who play, I think the Patriots play, what, Miami this week? I'm the Miami defensive coordinator. I am looking at that game for literally yesterday. What I would have done is I would have looked at that game all day. Just over. Just put it on the loop. The all 22. Just put it on the loop. And that's the exact same defensive installation that I'm going to put in for this week for the Dolphins against the Patriots. I might, you know what? I got the Patriots right now. I may be changing to the Dolphins. I might have just sold myself to take the Dolphins. Because the Dolphins, even before having that blueprint, always played the Patriots twice, you know, rough and tough and close, and they always split games. I'm noting right now, I may change my pick. Anyways, finally, it's some really good news. And the thing, you know, it's not going to be a rave because it's not on our rant and rave section. It's just news section. But Amazon came out today, and what they have done is formed the first ever female duo to broadcast an NFL game as Amazon's Prime Video sets to broadcast the next 11 Thursday Night Football games starting this week. Andrea Kramer and Hannah Storm are going to provide commentary and analysis for Amazon's live streaming coverage. Congratulations, Amazon. Congratulations, Hannah and Andrea. I think that is a great move.
It's going to be an interesting one. I question if Amazon is going to stick to only this audio broadcast, because I think we were talking earlier. It's
right.
They're you know, Amazon's not going to be recutting this game. They're going to be using the Fox feed.
Right, right.
So it's really their investment is putting some people in the booth and providing a different audio to what we would get out of our Fox friends.
I'm happy about it. One, I'm happy about it for Andrea Kramer. I think she's a brilliant broadcaster. I love her in Real Sports with Brian Gumbel. And I've met her a couple times. I've seen her talk live a couple times. She's a very brilliant woman. I don't know much about Hannah Storm. I've seen some of her, you know, broadcast. I'm excited about this one because I think Andrea Kramer has a voice that is going to keep the audience engaged. She really knows how to speak. Because we're having issues in the broadcast booth. I mean, Monday Night Football with Jason Witten, right? My only concern is there is a woman who does, and I had her name earlier, and I'm going to get it again. It's Beth Mowins. She does college football, and I've listened to some of the broadcasts where she is the play-by-play announcer for college football, and there's nothing wrong with her. I think she's her insight and the way she calls the game, it's really good. It's not like she's doing anything wrong. My concern is her voice is so soft and soothing that it makes me want to sleep.
It's an NPR voice.
Something like that. It doesn't get me engaged in the football game. It makes me kind of want to take a nap while I'm watching. That's not what I want to do when I want to watch football. And nothing against Beth Moon. Like I said, very insightful, knows what she's doing. She's obviously come to the game. It's just the voice is soft and makes me want to take a nap. I don't think that Amazon's going to have a problem with that with Hannah and Andrea. I think their voices are a little bit more powerful. They pack a little bit more punch, especially Andrea Kramer. For being such a tiny little woman, she packs a great big punch. And so I'm very interested in, because I've always said I wish that I could have another audio feed. I think this could be our million-dollar idea.
It could, yes.
We literally get, you know, we have a funny audio feed where we got two guys that are just, you know,
Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah, they're
feed,
watching
yep.
the game. They're talking about it. It's funny. You got another audio feed that is super analytical. I mean, you got these two guys that it's all about the numbers and they're giving you all the analytics feed. You got another feed that is, you know, two women, Andrea Kramer, Hannah Storm,
yep.
something like this. And you got a mix. Maybe you got a woman and a man. And it just provide me with something. And, of course, then you got all the languages. You know, you got one in Spanish. You got one in French. You got one in German. You got one in Russian. You know, whatever.
Yeah, ESPN is already doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
College football, they had ESPN2 running the Spanish broadcast.
Yeah, and so you get that going. And then I'm there watching the game. And if I get tired of Joe Buck, because, you know, this is what Thursday Night Football is. It's Fox.
Is Joe Buck, yeah.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. I get tired of listening to Joe Buck because, trust me, sometimes I get tired of listening to Joe Buck. I could flick the audio. Let's listen to the funny dudes for 20 minutes.
The game isn't exciting. Let's listen to the funny guys.
Exactly. Let's listen to the funny guys for a minute. Or let's just see
why are we seeing what we're seeing, you know, from a stats standpoint?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Flip between them. And in the technology we've got these days, that should be pretty easy to do.
Literally,
a little bit harder to do over like a network broadcast, but
right. No, but everyone's streaming stuff now. Yeah. You go. I mean, Sunday Night Football. What they do is what NBC, my company, what we do is we just tell you go to the web. But there's a whole bunch of, you can control what camera angle you see. If you get tired of the director who all of a sudden falls in love with the freaking Skycam and he's just giving you the Skycam, just go to the web.
I know how much you love those Skycams.
And you can stream your own. You can, you know, if you just want the camera that's just focused on Bill Parcells for the entirety of the game, you can have that camera if that's what you want. I mean, that's so there's a lot of things that you can do, and I think what Amazon has done here with Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer is fantastic. I'm telling you right now, I am probably going to listen to the entire first half. I'm going to give Hannah and Andrea the entire first half to listen to how they pull this off, just because it would be a welcome difference.
Yeah,
from
I agree. And how many times are we complaining about guys? We were talking earlier about Witten in the booth that, you know, they're guys that we like. They're guys we've heard that we've seen that, you know, in the case of Witten, he's one of your guys,
yeah.
Right? But maybe not in
lie.
The booth, right?
I'm not going to lie. The brother's born.
Yeah.
He's coming across very boring. I'm not pulling any punches. You know, and I'm okay. He made a, you know, a slight little thing with the left wing, and I get it. You know, a lot of you know, this day and age with the way our country is right now, you don't really want to get all political. I myself had a couple tweets from users when I talked about, you know, the first episode when I talked about that person that's sitting in the White House.
Yep.
They were like, oh, don't make your show political, Stephen. So I get it. I understand what Jason Wynn did, and it ruffled some feathers. That's not my problem at all with him. My problem is that half the times he's searching. You know, like when you're searching for something to say, and when other people can hear that you're searching for something to say,
I don't know what you're talking. don't know what you're talking about, man.
That's exactly right. I get that a lot from Jason. I'm like, he's trying to say something just to say something, and I think that's why he got in trouble with this left wing thing. He was going to make an analogy, and he just unfortunately used the wrong analogy. But the bottom line is his voice is one of those. It's kind of like Beth Moens. It's just soothing and it's dull. And it's kind of boring.
We could do a 20-minute show just on what makes a good announcer, what makes a good radio host.
Right, right.
Filling voids when there's dead air. I mean,
Gruden last you know, over the last, you know, 10 years, what was he in the booth? A lot of the times he was saying nonsense, but it was entertaining because it was talking. He was like, "Whoa!" And it was like, "Ow!" And you know, and the dude has passion, and he's got the Fruit Loops in his hand and a butter bucket in the side, and that, and you're like, "Whoa!" Gruden,
and the king of that, as we were growing up. John Madden.
Exactly. I mean, sometimes it's nonsensical stuff, but you feel the passion that they're bringing. And right now, what look, trust me, I know Jason Wynn as a competitor, as a player, is very passionate about football, but that passion is not coming through in the booth, and so that's why you're kind of saying.
Or it's coming through too much in the booth, where he's trying to say the right thing. He's trying to he's trying to bring a good insight from his professional days. But since he's working so hard at getting the right thing out, nothing of quality comes out. Whereas we go back to Gruden, we go back to Madden, they're just saying nonsense.
Yeah,
they're saying fun stuff.
But it's fun, it's entertaining. And as they're doing that, they get to the insightful stuff that they want to give you. Right now, Jason's trying so hard to get to the insightful stuff that he's not bringing any of that color. And to that point, ESPN is doing him a disservice and doing themselves a disservice by constantly going down to the field and talking to Booger McFarland.
Yeah.
How many times? I mean, I don't know any other football broadcast that goes down to their sideline reporter for every other play. Sometimes every play they go to talk to Booger. Look, do yourself a favor, ESPN. Put Booger in the booth. Monday Night Football is known for having three people in the booth.
If you need somebody else in the booth where Witten is only making a comment every third play, but it's that quality, you know,
insightful analysis, that's fine.
Then he suddenly becomes valuable, but you've got Booger doing the entertaining piece of the color side.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that's where ESPN has gone wrong. put Booger in the booth, have three guys in the booth. If you are doing this where you have three guys and you're constantly going down the side, because he looks weird. It looks awkward. He's down there on the sideline on some little booth that's kind of like above the field. And
it'd be one thing if he could walk it, you know, behind the bench and start interviewing players in the middle of, you know, between plays. What'd you think of that one? And but that the NFL's never going to let that happen.
No,
so, yeah, put him in the booth.
Put him in the booth.
Anyway.
And now you can have the three guys doing the – and you don't constantly have to keep cutting to him sitting in some little chair on the sideline.
Andrea Kramer, Hannah Storm, Thursday night, Amazon Prime.
Congratulations, Andrea. Very, very excited for you and Hannah. I'm looking forward to Thursday. And what a game, you know.
Yes.
Vikings, Rams. And speaking of which, we'll just get to it. Well, I can't get right to it because it is El Juego Gigante. But I've got a rant, and I'm going to do it because, you know, we still got plenty of time. So let's rant on roughing the passer penalties.
Now, last week we were trying to avoid this topic altogether. And
we
this
were.
Week you're going to dive straight
because
into this.
This week it drove me crazy. Seriously, it was one of those where it got stuck in my craw over the weekend. And I was about to let it go. And then I get to Monday Night Football, and there are four roughing the passer penalties in the game. And one of them was so asinine and absurd that I was like, boom, done. It's my rant for the week. I was trying to avoid it. I didn't want to talk about it. You know, roughing the passer, whatever the league is doing, I get it. But the one hit on Ben Roethlisberger where he basically got flicked on the helmet. It was like a flick, like you would flick your cousin or your brother on the nose. His helmet got flicked, and Ben crumpled onto the ground like Andre the Giant in the movie The Princess Bride when he jogs the dude on the head. He's like, I'm sorry, Vicini. I didn't mean to jog him so hard. And basically kills the guy because he hits him with his giant hand. That's what it looked like, but he didn't get hit on the head by Andre the Giant with a big bashing hand. It was a flick of the helmet. And Ben sold this. Oh, my God, the pain of my head is so bad. And he drew the flag. Then I started looking at my own guy, Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, which I love. Literally a Seattle Seahawk. I don't even know who the defender was. Kind of touched and gave him a little push on the arm, just like I did right now. Your body barely moved like an inch. And Dak flew like the Incredible Hulk, punched Thor, and flew him across the ship. That's what Dak did, and it drew a flag. And this is my team that I'm cheering that I want to win the football game, and he gets a roughing the penalty call because someone basically touched his shoulder. And I was like, you are kidding me. You are taking the NFL football and turning it to football.
Football.
Also known as soccer. Okay, and one of the things
for our American listeners.
Yeah, for our American listeners. One of the things that I absolutely hate about soccer, about the football, about the glorious game that everybody in this world loves, is the flopping aspect where a player flops on the ground. Oh, my leg. It's broken in 9 parts. And then the whistle blows, and they're up and running, and boom. I thought your leg was dead.
I thought you needed to be carted off.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then, like, someone, you know, doesn't even touch the dude. He just, like, puts his hand up, and he flails his hands, and he goes rolling, like, 15 times on the pitch, grabbing his knee. No one even touched his knee, by the way. But that's what he's grabbing, his knee. And that is becoming the National Football League. Right now, I saw it in 3 separate instances this weekend where a quarterback barely got touched. He pretended like he was dying, and it drew a flag. And this is not anything against soccer. Look, I know it's a beautiful sport, and there's a lot of people who love the 0-0 tie. I'm sorry, nil-nil ties, okay?
On the pitch.
And on the pitch, they're okay if players flop around on the pitch, and it's something that I just do not like about that sport. I don't like it in basketball. I hate basketball play. NBA players who, like, you know, someone sticks a hand out, and ow, and they flail. And Vlade Divac, let's just say everybody, what Ben Roethlisberger and Dak Prescott did this weekend, they pulled Vlade Divac, okay? He was the best at flopping around like someone killed him, but he was fine. And that is not why I watched the National Football League. That is not why. Look, and the crazy thing is Jerry Jones came out and said that he wants the football. He doesn't like where it's going, but he compared it to boxing, where he says in pro football, you put the 6-ounce gloves on. You know, you don't want to fight with the 10-ounce gloves and fight with that headgear that amateurs do. You're getting paid a lot of money to go out and incur these types of situations. And, yes, that has more risks in them, but that's what you're getting paid for. It's a lot of money. Put the 6-ounce gloves on. That's what I want, Steve, the 6-ounce gloves. And Jerry has no reason to be talking because his guy flopped and got a flag. But he's over here complaining about it. And he's not even a part of the competition committee. You know who is? His son. Jerry, you know what? Talk to Steven Jones. He's a part of the competition committee. And have them do something about this. Because if you want the 6-ounce gloves, tell your son to change it. Tell him to fix it.
Don't worry. The reports are that the competition committee is meeting in their regularly scheduled meeting in like 5 weeks or whatever to do this.
The report from Greg Siciliano from NFL Network and Judy Batista is that the competition committee is uncomfortable. You notice how he did quotes. Uncomfortable
yes.
With the roughing the passer calls. Of course it should be uncomfortable. The NFL looks like soccer right now. It looks like the Premier League. That's what Ben and Dak were trying to make out of it anyways. Oh, man. I have got to stop getting this worked up.
Okay, so before I respond too much to what you said here, I do need to say that I really wish one of these weeks that we would videotape you doing one of these rants because all of you out there need to see the full glory of how it's not just the excitement in Steven's voice. It's arms. He's jumping out of the chair. I mean, yeah, the excitement that he puts behind this, the dedication to these rants is second to none, and I'm proud of you.
Well, thanks, man. I had just gotten over it. And the first call on Big Ben where the guy kind of came running in and, you know, he took like 2 steps before he hit him, I was okay with that one and I was like going to get it away. But then the next time they threw the flag because literally someone tapped his helmet, I lost it.
Yep.
I just lost it. And I was like, I don't want to watch this anymore.
Well, now because people are trying to avoid it as much, you're having the Dolphins are saying that William Haynes tore his ACL trying to avoid the sack.
That's the thing. I cannot believe I forgot that out of my rant. I actually have the video. Here it is where Hayes actually goes and sacks Derek Carr. And as he's going to the ground, because he knows I cannot put my body weight, I have to be Houdini, and I have to levitate, slide my body over to the other side, and come on the ground without putting my body weight on the quarterback. He literally tries to make a move where he literally tried to jump off of cars. He was coming down. He literally tried to do the levitating act, and he hit his knee into the ground, and it got stuck in the ground, and he tore his ACL. And he is out for the season because he tried to not get a penalty.
So congratulations, we saved a quarterback.
But we just lost a very impressive defensive lineman for the Miami Dolphins. If you haven't seen it, I would play it, but then the audio would come through and it'd get picked up, and we don't want to do that. But I will show you afterwards. It looks – you could totally tell. His whole purpose for doing what he did was to not land on Derek Carr, and it killed the season.
I mean, you're almost expecting one of these weeks you're going to see a defensive lineman or a pass rusher come running up to a quarterback, stop a foot short, and just start guarding him like you would in basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm not going to touch you, I'm not going to hit you, but I'm going to prevent you from getting out or anything else. It's going to become a joke. It's taking away from the game. It's ruining the. I mean, I'm going back to a Packer. How many times did Brett Favre just get
pummeled,
and come back up? Yep. And that was half the fun of the guy, is that he could take a hit and come back. Now it's
and Troy Aikman, being a quarterback who played and who got some vicious hits and suffered several concussions. He was calling the Cowboys Seahawks game, and he was like, "Oh, this is a joke." That was his words. This is a joke.
Yes,
because Prescott, what they call it.
Clearly, we're not looking to have anybody hurt.
Right. That's not what I'm asking.
But like, I mean, the ones that I saw, and I mean, you know, the hits that Clay Matthews had the last 2 weeks that he's been called on late in the game.
Neither of those were roughing the passer.
Well, by the letter of the law as it's written, maybe, but
I still didn't even see the scoop. I didn't see him scoop
legs. The scoop, but laying his body weight. I mean, the idea is you're not doing a WWE lift him up and throw him down on the turf. All you're doing in that case is Clay is pushing through the quarterback, landing on the ground, and then trying to take as much of his body weight reasonably
off of him. By putting his hand down and bracing himself.
But they're not. I don't believe the NFL intended this rule to be enforced the way it is, but they wrote it up the way it is. The officials are enforcing the rule as it's written, inconsistently, of course, because they're not calling what should be, and they're missing a lot.
Yes.
But anyway, so let's
we're gonna let sleeping dogs lie there because
So
do you want your little rave?
I think by now everybody understands that even when I'm doing a rave, it might end up being a rave. So the NFL, when they find players, allegedly, there's no really proof of this. There's been kind of some veiled comments of what they do. They donate this money to charities or to the NFL Retired Players Fund. So my take on why they're suddenly calling so many more penalties is to make sure that they can fund that retirement fund properly, that they can up their charitable donations for tax purposes. It really has nothing to do with saving quarterbacks. But kudos to the NFL for getting more donations, penalties, so that they can take care of those in need.
How come your raves always, because you're good on the NFL for donating the money. That's great.
Because I'm a punk that way. I can't, I'm sorry. There's never a corporation, I work for a big corporation, you work for a big corporation. They don't do things out of the kindness of their heart. There's a reason why they do things.
Is this Joey from Friends telling Phoebe that nobody does? There's no such thing as a selfless good deed.
Exactly, yes.
There's no selfless good deeds. And Phoebe goes around trying to prove to him that there is a selfless good deed. And then he goes, and you know the deal about Santa Claus, right? And she kind of looks at him like, no. And he's like, that he doesn't exist. It's like, oh my God.
Oh man.
I am so sorry.
For
if you
anybody
have kids
out there
listening, please, you can't let Edith hear this.
I'll make sure. Well, Edith, I'm pretty sure my 11-year-old hasn't figured that one out.
Really? Okay. I'm sorry. Don't let any of the Fry kids listen to the show. All right. Thank you. That was our rant / mini rave / more rant. Come on, NFL. There's a reason they're called gridiron gladiators. They're not called gridiron ballerinas, okay? Who was it who used to, they should just put ballerina skirts on the quarterbacks, you know? And maybe they should, and then they won't get tackled. But even then, they're probably, you know, he two-hand touch on the quarterback. He touched him too hard. He pushed him. They'd flop.
Flag
and
football.
Flag.
It's coming. It's coming to the NFL near you.
All righty. Let's get to it. Speaking of Andrea Kramer and Hannah Storm just a little bit, congratulations, ladies. Amazon Prime Video broadcasting Thursday Night Football. We are now breaking down the games into the categories, and we'll start with El Juego Gigante Estupendo de la Semana. Now, just so you know what that means, Steve.
Thank you.
It is the giant, stupendous game of the week. The giant. I changed it to giant. It used to be El Juego Grande, which it used to be the big, stupendous game of the week. But I just thought that gigante would be better. So it's El Juego Gigante Estupendo de la Semana. There you go.
Thank you.
You want to try?
There's zero chance I'm going to say half of what you said.
There you go.
Without embarrassing myself and, you know, half of America.
All right. Well, this week's El Juego Gigante Estupendo de la Semana features the Los Angeles Rams hosting the Minnesota Vikings. Now, it would have been a bigger game had the Vikings actually taken care of business and beat the Bills last week. But instead, they laid a big, giant goose egg. They did score late in the game, but they were just flat. They were outplayed. And I think maybe the Buffalo Bills, they were a little upset. One, they heard from me that I was going to put them on 0-16 watch.
Yes. Right. That is, I believe that was the only
100% reason. Motivated them to come out and ball out. Because Josh Allen balled out. And they whooped up on the Vikings. They made the Vikings look bad.
And I also think that the Bills have figured out how to trash talk properly. Did you happen to see the tweet about your Bills have arrived? Where they had the map where the Bills came from Buffalo and they landed at the Vikings home stadium.
Not in Minnesota.
On the Wisconsin-Illinois border.
Yeah. I think they were thinking they went to Green Bay. Either
but that's
that,
not that, or the you were closer to Chicago. Hell, you were closer to St. Louis at that point.
The intern that, you know, was responsible for the map apparently needs to go to geography class because they have no idea where Minnesota was.
The public schools in Buffalo need some work on geography.
Failed miserably there. But I do like the – you know how Kirk Cousins, quarterback of the Vikings now, last year when he was the Redskins, he was like, you like that? That was his thing, like after big, you know, Redskins win. You like that? Well, they took a screenshot of all of the ESPN analysts who picked the game. And they all picked Minnesota. And they tweeted that picture out and they said, you like that? Question mark. that was an epic tweet.
Yes.
We've landed in Minnesota and, you know, you're in Wisconsin somewhere.
Yeah, you're in Indiana.
They might have been in one of the Great Lakes. I don't know where the helmet was.
No, the helmet was smack dab in the middle of the border.
That was awful. But that you like that with everybody picking the Vikings. That was pretty good. Anyways, here we go. The Vikings now have to come across the country. It's a short week. It's Thursday night football. Now, luckily for them, we're hearing Aqib Talib might not play for the Rams. Marcus Peters might not play for the Rams. These guys got injured during the game against the Chargers. But I'm just going to be honest. When you see the Vikings, and typically it happens a little bit later in the season, the Vikings looking really good, and then they lay a couple eggs, and you're just like, ooh, man. This happened really early, and this happened to a team that nobody thought had any chance of winning that game. And then it happened inside Minnesota at home. Now you got to go on the road. It's a hostile environment. It's a short week. The Rams got nothing but, you know, almost seems like cruise control. Like, against the Chargers, they took, like, this huge lead, and then it just, like, literally they put it in cruise control. Chargers got a little close. Okay, we got to turn it up a notch, which they did. They scored again and then took care of business and won. And kind of like similarly how they did against Arizona the week before, where I thought they were toying with them a little bit, the Rams look like they're just toying with people right now. No way Minnesota comes into Los Angeles and gets a win.
No. I think the Bills kind of gave us the blueprint to beat the Vikings.
Yes.
And I mean, it's as simple as if you can let Kirk Cousins have the time,
he will tear you up, but if
he'll
you
tear
pressure
you up.
Him.
But the Bills didn't let him. I mean, he managed 296 passing yards last week against the Bills, but he was still sacked four times, through an interception, and dropped three fumbles.
Three fumbles. That means he's getting hit, and he's not holding on to the ball. So
And the Rams are beaten up, as you said, but I don't – their pass rush is going to get home, and I don't see any way that the Vikings come back from L.A. with a win.
Well, Lady Edith has also picked the Rams. I think she did really good here. And folks, we're going to put up a picture so you can see Lady Edith in action.
Making a wonderful game, by the way.
Yeah,
she does like her Cardinals.
She picked the Cardinals again in that picture. We'll get to that one. It is one of our nap games this week. So we'll get to that one pretty quickly. But, yeah, come out to the website or follow us on Twitter. You can see this great picture of Lady Edith and how she goes about picking her teams for the week. Okay, we've all got the Rams there in El Juego Gigante Estupendo de la Semana. Moving on to Games of the Week. We'll start in Indianapolis where the Colts take on the Houston Texans. Steve, what you got?
This is going to be kind of that definition of mediocrity, I think. We have Watson and Luck both have 5 touchdowns and 3 interceptions on the year. Both teams are averaging about 20 points per game. Yeah, Texans are a little under that at 19.7,
yeah.
But they've both played some quality teams, Tennessee, New England, Philly, Cincinnati. So flip a coin. I mean,
Houston, not Tennessee, sorry. Houston Texans. And
yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're right. You had everyone out. You had Deshaun Watson and everything. That's cool. But here's the thing. The Texans are winless. They've yet to win. They had a chance to beat the Giants at home this week. They laid an egg.
Yep.
Indianapolis gave the Eagles a run for their money and had a chance at the end of the game to win that game. Couldn't capitalize on a fourth and seven there. Time basically ran out on the Colts. But they were there toe-to-toe with the Carson Wentz Philadelphia Eagles. Colts have a win. Texans don't. Colts are at home. I think Andrew Luck is now getting his rhythm back again.
Yep.
I like Indy to win this football game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm flipping a coin on it. Colts at home is the only reason. If this was in Houston,
maybe
I'd go the other way.
Houston. And Lady Edith joins us as well. She's also picking the Indianapolis Colts. Moving on to the next game of the week, the Cleveland Browns. People would like.
What?
That's right. In a game of the week, the Cleveland Browns playing the Oakland Raiders. Now, before I hear craziness, we're like, how is the 1-1-1 Cleveland Browns and the 0-3 Oakland Raiders a game of the week? I'll tell you why. It's the start of Baker Mayfield, baby. His first official start as the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. You're going to want to watch this. I think when he came into that football game on Thursday night, the Browns' offense looked stale, stagnant. They weren't doing anything. And once again, I think it's a bad play. Tyrod Taylor takes a concussion. He gets put in concussion protocol. In comes Baker Mayfield. And all of a sudden, that offense looked like it was clicking.
And I think the first play from scrimmage was a run.
Yeah.
But the second one was not.
No.
And the second play, I mean, he threw that ball like a 5-year vet.
Yeah.
I mean, he never looked back.
All his balls were like rockets, putting them in the right place, fitting them in tight windows. And it's like, man, how did he get that ball in there? And you see, and it's like literally there's a window like that big.
Yeah, he's put it between defensive linemen's arms. Yeah, it was amazing.
So that is why it's a game of the week. You have got to watch Baker Mayfield play against the Oakland Raiders. And look, John Gruden, I think, 3 weeks in, is on the hot seat. Okay, the Oakland Raiders got to be sitting there, man, we paid this guy $100 million for 10 years. I mean, that's a long contract, you know. And the Raiders are notorious for they'll just fire somebody and then they'll try to weasel their way out of not playing the contract. I don't think Gruden's going to let them do that.
No, he won't.
It's $100 million on the line. I left a cush job at ESPN. For $100 million. You know how much I want to get?
$100 million, yeah. Did you see his comment on when they asked him this week on whether he regrets letting go Khalil Mack go?
I did not see
it. It was something along the lines of, yeah, you know, those guys are pretty hard to come by, and just left it at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, John. That's why we keep asking you the same question.
And you can't, you know, you would maybe do yourself a favor if you stop saying, we need to get a better pass rush.
Yeah.
Duh. Do you know how Khalil Mack's doing for the Bears? He's got 3 sacks. He's got 2 forced fumbles. He's got an interception return for a touchdown. I'd say that's pretty good. So, anyways, that's all to say. I was this close to for the fourth week in a row taking the Raiders. I can't do it.
No.
I think Baker Mayfield's gonna lead this offense. And first of all, and I'm going to keep beating a dead horse into the ground here, that Cleveland Browns defense is no joke.
I think that's really what makes the difference here.
Myles Garrett, man, I feel for Derek Carr. I mean, Miami gave David Carr a hard time. Can you imagine what the Cleveland defense is going to do?
So the Raiders offense hasn't put up more than 20 points, and they haven't played a tough defense yet. They've played some good defenses.
Yeah.
Nothing to sneeze at, right? But they're not a great defense. And I'm not saying the Browns are a top of the class, top of the NFL defense, but they're pretty darn aggressive.
Really
they're
good.
They're good.
Their pass rushes are really good. And right now that defense is going to keep them in this football game. And my problem with the Raiders is they've had leads in 2 games going into the fourth quarter and could keep them.
Yep. They have not. What was the stat I saw? They have not been behind for a single play in the first 3 quarters of any of the first 3 weeks.
That tells you something, and they're over in 3.
Yep. And what you've kind of seen out of the Browns is almost the exact opposite.
Yeah,
especially with the Browns offense they'll get into a hole in the first half, and then whether it was Taylor or what we expect to see with Mayfield like we saw last week,
right.
they'll dig themselves out of the hole. So even with Taylor behind center, I think this would have been a tight game. The Browns defense would have kept him in it, and it could be a pick 'em game. But I think with Mayfield, if he continues to show what we saw Thursday, I think the Browns pull this one out.
So you and I have Cleveland. Edith is going to go on her own here and take the Oakland Raiders. Good luck. I don't buy it. Because Raider fans are texting me and telling me this team is awful. I think the exact quote from one of my good friends who is a big Raiders fan was, they are officially a dumpster fire. And I think that's where the Raiders are right now. All right, next game of the week, the Baltimore Ravens travel to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers, who finally got a win.
So it appears the Steelers have just given up on a running game.
Yeah, I mean, you can't – look, Connor's B is very serviceable. He's not fantastic, and he's certainly not Le'Veon Bell, but he's being serviceable. He's running the ball effectively. He had some pretty big runs against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He effectively iced the game for Pittsburgh.
Sure. Yep.
On Monday night, right? He had the three really big runs yep. there at the end to kind of close out the game. They ran out the clock, and they win the football game. So I don't want to say that it's not Le'Veon Bell running the football, and they're not running that efficiently yet, but it's serviceable. They're at home, and that's why I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers this week. I think they need to get a home win in front of the home crowd. They're going to come out, and unfortunately for Pittsburgh, it's going to be all on Big Ben.
Yes.
The way the rest of this season goes for the Pittsburgh Steelers is going to be on the shoulders of Ben Roethlisberger. Because his defense is not doing all that good.
Nope.
Defense looks suspect. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick threw for 400 yards again. It's the first quarterback to throw three consecutive games for 400 yards.
Ever in the NFL.
Do you know how difficult that is? That nobody has ever done it?
All those great quarterbacks, nobody's ever done it.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, first one, three consecutive back-to-back-to-back 400-yard games.
And
it wasn't
just when you thought Fitzmagic was done come halftime.
Yeah, he came out.
He comes roaring out in second half and makes it a game.
That's having a short memory for you. But it wasn't like there were slouches either. It was New Orleans, it was Philadelphia, and it was Pittsburgh. And he threw for 400 yards on all of those teams.
Yes.
So
Ben's got four interceptions so far. So he's throwing the ball up. He's making mistakes, but he's also got seven touchdowns and over 1,100 passing yards
in
three games.
They're going to need more from that. Steelers
are putting it all on his arm, his shoulders.
Juju Smith-Schuster has been a great, great improvement this year. Now it doesn't have to always be Antonio Brown. Did you see the stiff arm that McDonald gave? I mean, it was like, get off me, boom, and he just that's all. I want to call that game, and because that would be my call. It would be like, oh, it's a call by McDonald. It's going down the side. Get off me!
Maybe you and I can sign up a contract with NFL Game Pass for one of their many replays. We get to do the play by play.
I'm down for that, man. Because literally, get off me!
So this is a divisional matchup.
It is
Sunday night,
and this scares me a little bit.
I'm going Roethlisberger over Flacco. Just
yeah, it's Sunday night football. And one thing the Ravens do, and Harbaugh coaches his team very well, is to play well against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I think the Pittsburgh Steelers, fresh off of that win, where they could have very easily lost the game, you know, Fitzmagic was leading the Bucs back, you know, they got to within three. It could have been a game that could have gotten away from them, and they'd be sitting here at 0-2-1. Instead, they're at 1-1-1. I think they build off of that, and they take care of business against the Baltimore Ravens. You and I have the Steelers, and look, Lady Edith
is also on the bandwagon
Steelers as well. The final game of the week, Monday Night Football, where the Kansas City Chiefs take on the Denver Broncos. That's going to be good. What are you doing Monday night? I think we need to watch Monday Night Football together, and I'll tell you why. But first, I'm going to let you tell the people who you're taking.
Oh, so I'm not even going to get to justify it. I'm just going to say who I'm taking, huh?
Well, no, you can know, but tell us why you're taking
it. I'm going with the Broncos here. I'm out on a limb. And
you are on a limb.
Very,
right,
very deep limb here. So, look, Kansas City should win this game.
Yes.
Right? Common,
they will win
Yeah, well, you think so, yes. they've Kansas City's showing really great wins against the Chargers and Steelers. They've had no problem with the 49ers. You know, the Broncos have won by a combined 4 points over Seattle and Oakland and lost to Baltimore.
Yeah.
So right there kind of tells you this should be the Chiefs' day.
But. I feel a but
there,
coming.
There is a but.
But. Okay. Give me the but.
So I'm not saying that Mahomes isn't good.
Okay.
He's doing great.
Yep.
But the question is this really the quarterback play or is it more the coaching?
Oh, no. Not the Andy Reid, it's the system and not the player talk. Is that
first three games last year, Alex Smith had 7 touchdowns.
Okay.
The last 12 games, because they didn't play him the last game of the season,
He
had 19. So it went from 2 1/3 touchdowns per game down to a little over 1.5.
Okay.
First three games, he had a 77% completion ratio. The rest of the season, 65. He had 0 interceptions in the first three games, 5 for the rest of the year. Maybe not that big of a deal. He was 0-3 for the first three and 6-6 for the last 12. So
I hear what you're saying because, you know, a lot of things that, you know, remember Dak Prescott had that great rookie campaign. Nobody had knew anything about Dak. They didn't have any video on him.
Yep.
And I think it's similar with Mahomes. Nobody has – there's not a lot of tape on Mahomes right now, so not a lot of people know much about him. So I do hear what you're saying there that it's going to catch up. Just from what I've seen and the way he throws that football, I don't think it's a system thing. I mean, there were a couple plays this weekend where I was like, he did not just throw that ball like that. It was literally like a flick, just like a – I mean – it was not a throw with his entire arm. It was a flick of just his wrist. Like, his arm didn't really move forward. It was, just, get it out. And that thing flew like a bullet. So.
So, what I'm leaning on here is.
Broncos going to get to him, Von Miller?
Is the Bills on how many walking in to a game that they have no expectation to win.
Right.
That, I mean. The Chiefs aren't looking past this game. Nobody in the NFL looks past a team. All right, every win means something.
And this is
but
a
it's
divisional
Monday Night
rivalry.
Football,
they hate
a divisional
each other.
Rival. I really, really think the Chiefs are going to win, but something in my gut says Broncos are going to pull this one out. So I'm going with that gut against
gut
all common logic, and
He's
I'm going
got
with the Broncos.
That gut feeling. Oh, that gut feeling. The gut feeling, huh? All right, that's okay. Because I'll just tell you right now, I'm a little nervous too because Edith and I have the Chiefs. And the last two times, I have taken a challenge game where Edith and I had a team and you were all alone on an island by yourself. I've lost. I'm sitting here at 0-2. I need to get a win. Okay, this is making me a little nervous. But this is the challenge. I don't even care what other games that we differ on. There's no way Denver – look, I've said this about Denver – they needed 2 fourth-quarter comebacks at home to beat the Raiders and the Seahawks. Two teams I don't think are very good. They went on the road and got beat down by the Ravens just like I thought they would. You know, players for the Broncos over here saying, yeah, we beat ourselves. They didn't beat us. We beat ourselves. No, you got beat. I don't get what you say. And I don't think they're going to have an answer for Mahomes. If Kansas City comes into Denver and they take an early lead, it's over because Denver won't have I'm not going to trust that Case Keenum is going to be able to lead the charge to make a comeback against Kansas City. So I'm good with the Chiefs. I think I'm going to lock it in as our challenge.
It'll be a good one.
All right, moving on to games of importance. We start in New England as the New England Patriots host the Miami Dolphins. Now, these games of importance, they're not quite at the status of games of the week, but they're important because we're going to find out some stuff about some teams. We got the Miami Dolphins here who, oh, my God, take a look. They're the only undefeated team in the AFC East. Them alone. It's not the Patriots, not the Jets, not the Bills. It's the 3-0 Miami Dolphins against the New England Patriots, who, by the way, are coming off back-to-back losses for the first time in a skajillion years. I'm going to do it. I'm doing it because I believe that the Miami – look, I've always taken the Miami Dolphins to kind of beat the Patriots. I am officially making this move change. Ryan, do you see that? It's official.
We started the broadcast, and Steven had the Patriots. No more.
I'm taking the Miami Dolphins. They know that this early season, even though it's week four, they can almost deliver a semi-body blow to the Patriots and almost knock them out right here. The Patriots fall to 1-3, and the Dolphins go to 4-0 with effectively another game lead because they will have beaten them head-to-head. It could be almost game over for this division. Now, nobody is saying anything about the Miami Dolphins. Ryan Tannehill is just playing steady football. He's not making mistakes. They're not doing anything flashy. Kenyon Drake's continuing to run the ball. And last year, by the way, Drake torched the Patriots. I'm taking the Dolphins. I'm doing it. I just did it right now.
You did. You made that change.
I did.
You talked yourself into it.
It is official.
I'm sticking with the Patriots. I don't disagree with anything you've just said.
Yeah.
It's going to be a close one, but I think Patriots coming off two losses in a row, playing at home.
Oh, they're mad. They're going to be mad.
Yeah, they're going to be mad. And Dolphins, I think, you know.
If Edelman were back in this game, I do not make this change. But it's the receivers right now that Brady has. I don't see any trust in them. The Lions eliminated Gronkowski from the game. They doubled him. They put a safety over the top. They're like, he's not going to beat us, Tom. Tom, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us with a bunch of these no-name dudes that nobody knows anything about. That's how you're going to beat us. And I think Miami's going to follow the same blueprint. And Miami's actually going to get after. They always get after Tom Brady. I just think I talked myself really good into this.
Yeah, you did. I'm sticking with the Patriots.
All right. There you go. And Edith
is also with the Patriots.
So this is one where I'm there all by myself. Moving on, the next game of importance, the New York Football Jets travel to Jacksonville to face the Jaguars. Before I continue with the rest of them, we did say that byes start this week. Two teams on a bye, the Washington Redskins and the Carolina Panthers, are sitting this week at home chilling. I think the Panthers are all chilling on the beach, relaxing. Well, maybe not, because the beach is probably still in the water. So hopefully helping, you know, with the recovery effort or something. And the Washington Redskins, I don't know. They're doing
whatever you do in D.C.
Whatever you do in, you know, politics city. So there you go. The Jets, they're going to be fun to watch this year. What I've learned over the first 3 weeks, it's going to be fun to watch the New York Jets. I just don't think they're going to win a lot of football games. They're not quite there yet. I like the Darnold connection to Inunua. And like I said, Isaiah Crowell is really running good right now. But outside of Inunua, there's not really a whole bunch of other wide receivers that scare me for the Jets. They're certainly not good. Look, Jacksonville, I'd tell you one thing for sure right now. They are mad. Yes. They are angry at how they played last week against the Tennessee Titans. They're at home this week. I think they take it out on the Jets.
I would agree.
I got the Jets.
So I mean, the Jets surprised in week one against the Lions. Lions aren't, save this last week against the Patriots, Lions aren't as good as they can be.
Right.
Who knows? Maybe that was the start of something last week. But let's just go with the assumption Lions aren't that good. The Lions are 26th in points given up. Miami and Cleveland are 6-11, respectively.
Yeah.
And after the Jets thumped the Lions in week one, they've really not been able to do anything since then.
Yeah.
The Jags are second in points given up. Right there, that's it. Jags don't even need to take their anger out on the Jets. This is Jags all the way.
Yeah. Edith also likes the Jags. She jumps on our bandwagon. Next, the Buffalo Bills travel to Green Bay to face the Packers. I'm going to let you take it away and tell me why I should keep the Packers as my pick, because, you know, the Buffalo Bills, yes, Greg, talking nice about the Buffalo Bills. They showed, we're not, everybody thinks we're a joke. We are not a joke. They came out and they balled out. As a matter of fact, one of the funniest tweets of the weekend is I saw someone tweet a meme of Forrest Gump when he's running, where he runs out of his house and he runs down the street.
Yep.
And they said, Vontae Davis returning to work. People are mean on the internet, man.
So I guess in justifying why I think the Packers are going to win this game, do you have a cricket sound on that board at all?
Yeah, I should have something, but I don't run around. Yeah, all I right. do.
So there's my justification why I think the Packers are going to win.
That's
Look,
it.
A week ago, very confident. The Packers beat the Bills. No problem here. After the Packers, I mean, clearly the Packers defense can't do anything right now. They're incapable of stopping a bunch of kindergartners at the moment.
Yeah.
Something's got to change there. You know, I'd love to be able to blame it on some bad roughing the passer calls.
Yeah.
That's not it. Packers defense has bigger problems than that. The Bills clearly have proven that they can play with the best if they game plan, if they've got the right people, the right talent. So I'm not as confident this week as I would have been previous to this. But at the end of the day, the Bills so far have proven to be much better against the rush than the pass. And, of course, I think we all know where the Packers' offensive production comes from. So between being at home and
to give you a little bit of news there, you probably already know this, but so the Packers placed Devon House on IR, shoulder surgery, and reportedly they're signing Bashaud Breeland to replace him. Breeland's pretty good. I did not like him because he was Washington Redskin, but, you know, I think it'll be a good addition there for the defense.
And we've got talented guys on defense.
Yeah.
I think it's just – and I don't think that it's a bad coaching situation. I think it's a coaching situation in transition.
Okay. All right.
That's what I'm going with. I'm praying that's
that
what
is,
it is.
That is
what,
well,
God knows
I've got
we need
Packers,
a defense.
And we all know that, you know, Lady Edith is going to take the Packers as well. All right, moving on. The Cincinnati Bengals travel to Atlanta to face the Falcons. I'm at the Atlanta Falcons here. I missed on the Bengals first 3 weeks because I didn't think they were going to be that good this year. They gave the Panthers a run for their money, but, you know, on the road, the Cincinnati Bengals are just always different when they're on the road. Here they go on the road again to Atlanta, a team that I think last week it clicked. Matt Ryan threw for 5 touchdown passes, 3 to Kelvin Ridley. They finally got out of that red zone funk. We're in the red zone. How do we score? Well, guess what? They found how to score last week. Went to overtime in a huge shootout with the Saints. And if they go and start doing a shootout like that against Cincinnati, there's no way the Bengals can keep up.
No.
I got Atlanta for that reason.
So John Breach from CBS Sports brings up some interesting stats because you know I love stats.
Yes.
And they're a great predictor of future production. So Matt Ryan is 1-5 in the last 6 against AFC teams.
Ooh.
And 7-13 since 2013. So I get your point on the Bengals, but apparently the Matt Ryan has a little bit of a problem playing the AFC.
Okay.
So everything else you said? Shootout, it's not going to go to overtime. It's not going to be last week's game against the Saints, but it's going to be a high-scoring game. I'm going with the Bengals just, again, gut check on that one, but if it ends up going Falcons, it's not going to be a surprise to me either. Ryan definitely has his team clicking on most cylinders.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think my lack of with the Bengals is when Joe Mixon, their running back, got injured and he's out, he's going to be out again for this game.
Yep.
They have to rely too much on Andy Dalton, and I don't trust Andy Dalton. That's literally bottom down when it comes down to it.
But I think the Falcons' defense is kind of beat to hell too.
Yeah,
I mean, they've got a lot of questionable guys, not out, but you know they're limping around a little bit, so they're not going to be quite as quick. So I think that offsets a little bit of losing.
With the Falcons as Lady Edith is joining you with the Bengals pick. So good luck with that one. I could make this the chance game too, but no, I'm sticking with the Chiefs. I locked it in. But this is another interesting one because I really think I like Atlanta at home. Final game of importance before we get to our final 5 games, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers travel to Chicago to face the Bears. This is interesting. We are all on the Buccaneers. Even though they lost, I think they showed some resiliency where, like, they're down by 20 points to start the second half, and you could, like, okay, yeah, it was fun while it lasted. The Fitzmagic was great. But it's over now. It's over. But it's over now. I mean, he's gone. It's Fitzpatrick, man. But he lit it up. Now, Jameis Winston is back in the building. I don't think they pulled the plug on Fitzpatrick. Haven't heard anything yet. And I do reserve the right to change this to Chicago if and when the Buccaneers decide to play Jameis Winston. If they stick with Fitzmagic for another week, I'm going to take Tampa Bay in this game. But right now, I'm sticking with Tampa Bay.
So the Bears lead the NFL in sacks. They've got 14. Their pass rush has been devastating.
Of course. They have this guy named Khalil Mack, which they basically
got. Does Gruden know who he is?
They got him for free.
Yes.
Basically. Because the Raiders want to get rid of him, and they got him for free.
But the,
I shouldn't say that. I mean, they gave
Bears,
him some picks.
The Bears' pass rush seems to fall off in the second half.
Yeah, I don't understand what's going on there because they come out like gangbusters, and I don't know if it's get tired or I don't know if the offensive coordinators start to scheme better against the rush. I think that is what's happening is, like, especially in the Packer game, Aaron Rodgers started getting the ball out quicker.
Yeah.
And that's how you know for a rush? Throw the ball out your hand. Get rid of it. Like, hike.
Don't give them the 3 seconds.
One Mississippi, two, boom, it's out your hands. And I think in that first game, Rodgers in the second half was getting the ball out of his hands in 2.5 seconds. And that's how you nullify the rush. And I'm pretty sure I haven't looked at the other games that closely, but I think that's what happened. Quarterbacks in the first half hold on to the ball a little bit longer. They're getting sacked. They realize, hey, man, we got to get the ball out quick. They start changing their routes up, and that's why it's nullifying that pass.
Last week in Arizona, the Cardinals put up 14 in the first quarter and then just kind of forgot to play offense the rest of the game. So I don't think the Bears needed to do much to keep them against the Seahawks. It was, you know, it was a late fourth quarter flurry of touchdowns back and forth. But so I think here it's,
what do you think of them putting Rosen in the final 4 minutes of the game when basically you're like, I thought that was a little bush league by the coach. I'm like, what are you doing, man?
I'm mixed on that because I think it's one of those where coming into he's clearly starting this week. Right. They're sticking with him this week. He's now had a full week to think about it, to worry about it, to question whether he's doing the right thing. You throw him in the game in the fourth quarter in a 2 minute drive, there's no thinking. It's here you go, kid. Here's the ball. Good luck. He can't fail because if he doesn't get it done, well, nobody else was either. I mean, we didn't expect anybody to do anything. And if he does well, look,
confidence,
a little bit of confidence builder. So I don't have a problem with what they did. I thought it was odd that they waited that long to
Very
do it. If they were thinking about
if
making
you're
that
do
change,
do it in the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Right.
Let's get some. You know, because I think to me that way you do it in the beginning of the fourth quarter, you give him the opportunity to have a couple series under your belt where it's okay to fail.
But in the 2 minute drill,
you can't fail.
Yeah.
It's
it's he doesn't have any window of error.
Right.
He doesn't have two or three rushes before he finally is asked to throw the ball to get comfortable with the snap and being out in the live game situation.
I thought it was a little weird.
It was a little weird, but I think it was probably well played because nobody's faulting him for not completing
that.
And now he's gotten it a couple of plays under his wings in a live game situation against a devastating pass rush. It'll be
good.
That's
going to be interesting. All right.
We kind of got sidetracked there.
We do got to get out of here. We are all got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the final game of importance. Games of interest, we've got the Detroit Lions against the Dallas Cowboys. We are all taking the Cowboys. The New Orleans Saints travel to New York to face the New York Giants. We're all taking the New Orleans Saints. Is this 4 weeks in a row where Lady Edith's taking the fleur-de-lis?
I believe so, yes.
Is she a big fan of the fleur-de-lis as well? The San Francisco 49ers travel down south just a little bit, about a five-hour drive, to face the San Diego Chargers.
No.
What?
The Los Angeles Football Chargers.
I even said five-hour drive because they're only driving to Los Angeles.
They're not going
not
seven.
San Diego. And I still said San Diego?
You did.
I cannot believe it. So the San Francisco 49ers traveling five-hour drive down south to face the Los Angeles Chargers. You and I have the Chargers. Lady Edith's picking the 49ers. Did you tell her that Garoppolo got tore his ACL? He's out for the year?
I did. I honestly did give her a second chance at picking this game.
You said Garoppolo's out.
She's stuck with the 49ers.
She likes the SF logo. All right, there you go. Then finally, two nap games this week. First, The Philadelphia Eagles travel to Tennessee to face the Titans. Man, the Eagles better play some football. This game's going to tell you a lot about the Philadelphia Eagles and how they respond against Tennessee, because they sneaked out. That's two wins. They're 2-1, and two wins were little sneaky wins where it kind of basically took till the final second before they won those games. Now they've got the Tennessee Titans here. And then the final nap game, the Seattle Seahawks against the Arizona Cardinals. That is the game that we have a photo of Lady Edith making the pick. She's on her own.
Yes, she's on her own taking.
She really likes that red bird.
She does.
She took the Arizona Cardinals while you and I have the Seattle Seahawks. And I'm questionable. This may be one of those games where Josh Rosen comes out and he plays just as well as all the other rookies have been playing. And he beat Seattle. The last thing we saw from Seattle is they beat a really bad Dallas Cowboys team.
Yep.
The Cowboys offense
just didn't show up.
Is atrocious. And Seattle, found a way to win that game.
I think what's left of the Seattle's pass rush does put Rosen on his heels.
On his heels. All right. So there you go.
That's why I'm going Seattle in this one.
Lady Edith has the Cardinals. That's all the time. Once again, we seem to always hit 111. Before I let you go, I took my first loss in the lock last week as the Panthers couldn't cover the Packers couldn't cover the 3 points as they lost to the Redskins. I look to bounce back this week. I'm taking another favorite to cover. I've got the New Orleans Saints to win by 4 or more points over the New York Giants. Take the Saints, give 3.5. If it gets higher than that, I don't trust it. But I definitely think they could take the Giants by 4 points. Drew Brees is locked in right now. And congratulations to Drew Brees for surpassing Brett Favre for the most completions by a quarterback in the National Football League. That's all the time we got. Make sure you're following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Go to www.nflrnr.com to get all of the Twitter handles. I'm Stephen Miranda.
I'm Steve Fry.
And you've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. We're out.